Hi, everyone, and welcome to Take 10 for Torah number 283. I hope you all are well. Remember, any sort of feedback or questions, please send them to Rabbi Ismach at take10fortorah.org, the number 4, take10fortorah.org. Okay, so I wanted to talk about something which is uniquely Jewish today, and that is the idea of shuckling. You know, when you walk into a shul, Beis Knesses, synagogue, people are swaying when they pray. You know, very often they're not, but very often they are. Also, when people learn Torah, there's like this shuckle, which the best word I got is sway. But this back and forth, and you don't see that in the New York Public Library. You don't see that when people generally are doing and busy with academic things, and people are moving. What's this movement all about? So it begins in this week's parasha, which is why I wanted to discuss it today. It says when we get the Torah, V'chol ha'am roim es ha'kolos ves ha'lapidim, everybody saw the sounds and the bolts of lightning, the eskol ha-shofar, and the sound of the shofar, v'es ha'ar ha-shein, and the mountain was filled with smoke, v'yar ha'am v'yanu'u, people saw, and they trembled, v'yamdu mirachok, and they stood afar. So what does it mean? What was this moment trying to express? There's a Gemara in Yuma that says, the Torah was given bi'ema b'resas v'zeah. It was given in fear and shaking and quaking and trembling, right? It was a very intimidating, shaky moment, like you would get the shakes out of nervousness. So intimidating. God is appearing to his people, giving them the instructions for humanity. It's kind of a big deal, okay? So the Baal HaTurim on these words, Vayar Ha'am Vayanu, in this week's parasha, says, Al Kain, therefore, Misna'anim b'shas limud ha'Torah. We shake when we learn Torah. Sort of to replicate that moment, the moment of shaking and trembling and fearfulness when receiving the Torah, we shake, we sway when we learn Torah. That's the Baal HaTurim. Now, I just want to point out, all he's talking about is learning Torah. He says, Maimed Har Sinai, this moment of revelation, was with shaking and quaking. And so we too, when we learn, shake and quake. So the Zohar talks about this. A question that was asked, put to Reb Shimon by Reb Yossi. The question was, She'il Nale, my high. Why is it, the Zohar is pointing out over 1,000 years ago, Haide kol amin da alma lo avdin nanua. The rest of the nations don't do this. They don't worship like this. They don't study like this. Eli Yisrael b'lechudayu. Only the Jews do. Dekad la'ayin b'oraisa, because when they study and investigate the Torah, misna'anin hacha v'hacha, they shake here, this way and that way. And that's just, they didn't learn that from anywhere. What's that all about? So Rabbi Shimon answers Rabbi Yossi, I'll tell you why Jews do it. The reason Jews do it is because of a very well-known pasuk, Ki ner Hashem nishmas adam. The ner Hashem is the neshama of a person. The neshama is compared to a candle. Now we've come up with this idea very often, particularly in regard to yurtzeit and mourning, neshama and ner and candle. But he says there's something else to it. When just like a candle is constantly flickering, the candle is, the flame on top of the wick is flickering from side to side, so too we are. And so, unlike maybe the nations of the world, we have that particular level of neshama that flickers and shakes. And so he says, when we learn Torah, because that was the question posed to him, when we learn Torah, we should shake as well. Now, Balatanya talks about a little bit more about why it shakes and why the flame does that. It's because it's not of a physical nature and it's seeking to break away from the shackles of the physical world. And what that would mean is, and the parallel would be when we learn Torah, when we maybe daven, if you would extend this to davening, we are attempting to do exactly that. We are attempting to transcend our basic physical nature. We're shaking around, replicating the behavior of a flame, trying to get away from its rooting, its mooring on the wick. Okay, so that would be another idea. The first idea, of course, the Baal HaTurim. We are replicating the shaking at Sinai. The Zohar says, no, we are doing like the flame on top of a candle and shaking like the flame does because our neshama shakes in that way. The Kuzari was asked this question, at least in the conversation that's brought in the Kuzari, why it is, and again, he lived in the 11th century, the 12th century, why is it, Lama misna noim ha-yehudim b'kriyas ha-ivris? Why is it when the Jews read Hebrew, or they, I guess, read scripture or Torah, why do they shake? So he gives two answers. His first answer is, Amar ha-chaver, amru kib avur, heyer ha-chom ha-tivi, in order to increase heat. It's not clear what he means. Does he mean in order to increase heat to get your pulse moving so that you don't fall asleep when you're learning? Is it so that, you know, for people who are sitting in a base medrash all day, where you're going to get your exercise? There were no Fitbits back then, so that's what they would do. They would shake in order to get their exercise. It's not exactly clear. Maybe it's just healthy to be able to do that, and maybe it's cold, and so in order to shake, you shake in order to warm yourself up. It's not exactly clear what he means, but the idea over here is that there's a physical element to it, there's a physical advantage. And then he offers an economical reason, which I find fascinating. He says it could be back then, they didn't have that many books. Again, it's pre-printing press. They would make their books very large, and so they could have 10 people. I have a way, he says, that people could have shared one book. 10 people could share one book. How can 10 people share one book? Because they each shuckle in synchronously, where they can go and one person bends down and sees, and then the next person and the next person, and while the person is bending up, he says the word that he read. And so that's his idea. Altogether, we have the practical, we have the physical, we have the element of the candle on the flame, which is sort of the spiritual, and then we have the idea of Maamid Har Sinai, which is focused on the fact that we are replicating that moment of shaking. Now, that's all in regard to Torah study. What about davening? So it's interesting, because the Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch does bring the custom to shake. Specifically, he says, first, by Torah learning. And then he adds, V'chein mishah shemespalalim, also when we daven. Now, this is by no means clear. Pretty much everybody agrees that during the praise parts of davening, like Psukei Dezimra towards the end of davening, you could do what you got to do, whatever, you know, gets you into things. But there's a big debate about whether or not one should shake if they are saying the Shmona Esrei. The Shmona Esrei is generally associated with having a one-on-one to God. The language of the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tzadik Hei is that we are speaking like an Eved to his master, his servant to his master. That's not the type of thing that you should be doing. You know, shaking is seems to be inappropriate. As a matter of fact, the Shla says that outright. He says, go find Hayishal Adam She'elos Mimelech Basar V'dam. Is somebody going to go and ask questions of a flesh and blood king? The gufo misnoea, and his body's going to be shaking. Kenoa atzayar b'pnei ruach, like the trees in the forest. I mean, that's not normal. That's extremely strange. That's very weird. And so that doesn't happen. Nobody does that. And so it would be inappropriate for tefillah, specific tefillah, which is akin to a conversation, to do that. The Ramami Pano also objected to it from a different source. He says, you know, we learn a lot of the laws of tefillah from Chana. Chana and her tefillah when she was wanted to become pregnant with Shmuel, and her experience with Eli. We learn a lot of details of tefillah from Chana. One of the things is that it says there, Rak sifoseha naos, only her lips were moving. And so the Gemara's point over there is to show that her lips were moving, right? And that we should also move our lips when we daven. We shouldn't just scan words with our eyes, we should move our lips. But says the Merami Pano, there's another thing we can learn from there. We can learn that only her lips were moving and nothing else. And so there's been this debate about whether or not we should be shuckling, whether or not we should be moving around when we daven. But what's the upshot? So even when the Shulchan Aruch talks about that you're supposed to go and stand like an eved, like a servant, the Mishnah Berurah there adds, but some have the minhag to shake and to shuckle. The Magen Avraham actually struggles with this, that there are people who say you should daven, you should shake during, should move and sway during Shmona Esrei, and others who say you do not. And he says, the avid kamar avid, u kamar avid. You could do whatever it is that you do, whatever works for you. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah, both agree that that is what is appropriate. And so I guess one might say different strokes for different folks, or different shuckles for different folks. Now, I just wanted to share two other things. So Shimon Schwab, in his book on tefillah, on page 167, has a very fascinating interpretation of shuckling. He says, you know, there are two ways to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is through ahava, love and closeness, and one is through yira, when one is awestruck by his omnipotence and his omniscience. He says that explains shuckling, the backwards and forwards. The forward motion expresses one's desire to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then upon reflection, one realizes that he is the Ribono Shel Olam, the master of the universe, which causes one to reel back in awe. And those are the thoughts that are pushing us forward, oop, and then back, and then forward, and then back, and then forward, and then back. Of course, there's no obligation to do any of that, but that is where the idea comes from. Finally, I wanted to conclude with the Rivash that's quoted in the Sefer Chassidim. The Rivash says, let's imagine you would find a person who, God forbid, is drowning, and they're flailing in the water, doing whatever movements they can to try to escape the water. Would anybody mock such a person? No. Would anybody say that, hey, you look really dumb right now? No, because they're doing what they can to survive. So too, if a person witnesses somebody shuckling, even if it's not your flavor, it doesn't work for you, one should never mock the practice, because that's exactly what it is. A person flailing to try to avoid any sort of distractions and try to focus themselves on tefillah. We know how hard that is. And so if somebody's doing it, give them the credit and the benefit of the doubt they're doing it for the right reasons. So in any event, whether you shuckle or whether you don't, there are sources on both sides, and whatever is important is focus.